Well, Maria, thank you, and good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me from down there. Now, you may be here this morning and you may have a cold, or you may have health issues. You may have just put the kids back to school, and you may be sat there wondering, what on earth has all this very remote story got to do with me? Lost donkeys, processions of prophets with tambourines. It feels very remote, doesn't it? This is the Bronze Age, right? What on earth has it got to do with us in 21st century Denton? And the answer is that it has got everything to do with us. Because, my friends, whilst it's true that, yes, lots has changed in the last 3,000 years, this was 3,000 years ago, much has changed, but human nature has not changed. And the God who is active in this reading, he has not changed either. This passage that Maria just read for us, it is fundamentally about obedience, about God's delight in our obedience. In fact, the whole story of Saul, as we'll see in the coming weeks, it is all about this matter of obedience. Will Saul obey the voice of God? And that is a fundamental question in our Christian lives, isn't it? As we hear God's word this morning, other mornings in your own private reading, as we hear God's word, will we merely listen? Or will we obey? Why don't you join me in praying? We'll ask God to stir our hearts to obey this morning as we hear his word. Father, we thank you this morning for addressing us as your people. We come to you, Lord, as your creatures to a creator. And we know that you love us. And we know that you know what is best for us. So open our ears, Lord. Open our hearts that we might put our trust in Jesus. And in doing so, obey what it is that he is calling upon us to live out this morning, for we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. So here is Saul. He's the one who's been chosen to be king. And we saw last week that Saul is somebody who is very apt to be king. He's got everything that you might possibly want in a king. So Saul comes from a very wealthy family. He's somebody who's used to managing a large household and estate. We're told last week that he's a full head taller and much stronger than all the other men in Israel. And think, in those days, the kind of role that Saul was being called to, he wasn't there just to wave at people and to cut ribbons and to give a Christmas message. That's not what Saul's kingship was for. He was there as a warrior. He was there as a deliverer to rescue God's people, Israel, from their enemies, the Philistines. So he comes from a wealthy family. He's very strong and tall. He's also, we're told, very handsome. Now, you might think that's no big deal, but put your hand up here this morning if you are one of those people who loved Princess Diana. We all did, didn't we? Every single hand in the building should go up. We all loved Lady D, didn't we? There's a reason that we loved her perhaps more than the other royals around her. Why? Because there was something graceful about her, wasn't there? There was something good-looking about her. We all love graceful, good-looking leaders. They draw us to them, don't they? Saul, he is the ideal candidate for the job in every way. He's got it all. And yet our reading this morning, it begins, doesn't it, with an anointing ceremony. So look with me at verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" Now look, while we're on the theme of our own royals, you might remember King Charles's coronation. It was quite recent, wasn't it? And one of the key moments in the service, perhaps the key moment, although it was a bit weird because it was done behind closed doors, they kind of put these barriers up so you couldn't see it, was when the Archbishop of Canterbury anointed King Charles with oil. Do you remember that? It was weird, wasn't it? But what was going on there is the Archbishop of Canterbury, he was praying that King Charles would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the task that God was calling him to be a good king, right? And here is Saul, this magnificent specimen of a human being. And yet we're being told here in verse 1 that the only way in which he is going to fulfill the role that God has given him, the deliverer of God's people, is through the Holy Spirit's power. It is through the Holy Spirit's infilling. There is no other way. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That is what God is saying. Natural gifts, wonderful, hooray. God has given natural gifts. But if we are to fulfill God's call on our lives, it is the infilling of his Spirit's power that we're to rely on. And you know, if you belong to Jesus this morning, you have also been anointed by God for service. Did you know that? Christian baptism, it is a sign. It's many things, but one of the things that it is a sign to us that we are being anointed by God. We are being empowered. We are being infilled to live our lives for Jesus, to be his witnesses in this place where God has called you, in Denton. And so why is it then? You may be asking yourself, I certainly ask myself this often, why is it that we so often feel so powerless? We do, don't we? We so often feel like we're being squeezed into a corner, both collectively as a church, individually. We feel like we have so little impact for Jesus, don't we? Probably lots of reasons to that, but I think much of it is to do with this issue of obedience that we see in the passage. Did you notice, as Maria read, you may not have done because it's kind of embedded in there, but you have to really pay attention to see it. Did you notice that Saul only receives the actual power, the actual infilling that God promises him? He only receives it as he responds in obedience. Did you see that? It is obedience that is the golden pipeline to Saul's power. Verse 3, Samuel tells Saul, remember Samuel's God's prophet, right? Well, the words that Samuel speaks, they are God's words to Saul. Verse 3, Samuel tells him, go from there. Verse 5, go to the Gibeah of God, where the Philistine outpost is. Verse 8, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. Wait there 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do next. It's order after order from God through his prophet. He is giving Saul very precise instructions. And there in the very next verse we read, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, as Saul acted in obedience, as Saul left Samuel, then God changed his heart. When he arrived in Gibeah, then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. See, my friends, there is only one route to the blessings of God promised here for Saul, and that is the road of obedience. That is the road of saying, Lord, I've heard, I will do what you've commanded. And that is basically the story of Saul in a nutshell. We'll see that in the coming weeks. Will Saul obey the Lord? Is Saul going to behave like the kings in the nations around him, where he's a law unto himself, he's answerable to no one, he does whatever he wants? Or is he going to be the kind of king who is under the law of the Lord, answerable to the true king, to King Jesus? Because the Lord here, he's after a leader who will obey. That is God's desire for his king, a man after his own heart, we read in 1 Samuel. And Saul, he starts off pretty well here, doesn't he? He obeys. He does whatever Samuel instructs him to do. And the result of his obedience is a new heart. It is the Spirit's infilling. We're told here he becomes a new person. He becomes a new creature. Now look, I don't know when you hear that kind of language, whether it sounds an awful lot like Christian new birth, doesn't it? The Spirit's infilling, a new life, a new heart, having your heart changed by God. And as we receive Jesus as Lord of our life today, as we obey his command to trust in him, we also become new creatures, don't we? It is a function of obedience. And if you haven't yet become a new creature, you can do that this morning. You can answer his call. You can say to him in your own mind, in your own heart, you can say, Lord, I hear that call to follow you, Jesus. I don't want to ignore that call anymore. I want to obey that call in my life. And you can become a new creature today. You can receive a new heart. You can receive a new life today. But for those of you who are here this morning and you have done that, do you know there is only one way of growing in that new life? There is only one way of growing in that anointing, in that empowering of God that he has given you, and it is through the food and drink of obedience. There is no other way, my friends, no other way. Now, I know of late there's a very appealing new theology out there that we can follow Jesus and we can receive his blessing irrespective of how we respond to him. We can't have Jesus as Saviour unless we also have Jesus as our Lord, as the one who gives us our marching orders. That is the belief of Christians throughout the ages. That is the teaching of Scripture. Trust and obey. Do you know the song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Yeah, Anne's giving me a nod there. It's a great song, isn't it? One cannot overstate the importance of this matter of obedience to God. Because think about it. Think about what obedience is. God longs for us to trust in him, to live in a relationship where we place our lives in his good hands. And obedience, it is the visible and tangible expression of trust in God, isn't it? Obedience is the visible and tangible expression of trust in God. Because when absolutely everything within me wants to do this over here, and I know that God says, no, that is not what is best for you, Mike. This is what is best for you. Trust in me. That is when we really act out our faith in God, isn't it? When we obey, even when everything within us says otherwise. And so this morning, ask yourself, as I ask myself, are there any areas in my life in which I know that I am not walking in obedience to the Lord Jesus? Are there areas in my life in which I know that I am not walking in obedience to what Jesus clearly says? Because what a terrible stain on my relationship with Jesus that is. Because that disobedience, whatever that thing is, however small it is a tangible sign screaming to Christ saying, I don't trust you with this thing, Jesus. I don't believe in your goodness in this thing, Jesus. Jesus says to us, doesn't he? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You know, we don't show our love for Jesus this morning. Do you love Jesus this morning? I hope you do. We do not show our love
for Jesus by singing worship songs to Jesus per se. That is not the way that Jesus has called upon us to show our love for him. We do not show our love for Jesus principally by giving financially to the work of the church, as important as that is. We do not show our love for Jesus by turning up to church Sunday on Sunday on Sunday. We show our love for Jesus in that area, whatever it might be, that God is calling me to obedience. Will I trust Jesus and obey him there? That is where we show Jesus that we love him. And this whole section, we're going to be thinking about this in the coming weeks, this whole section, that's the big question for Saul. It's the same big question for us. Will he continue to walk in obedience? Or is Saul just going to become his own Lord? Now look, we know the end of the story, don't we? And we have a clue in the title of our sermon series. Our sermon series is called The King That Crumbled. And you know, we've probably read this story before. We know how it goes. But if you don't know how it goes, spoiler alert this morning, Saul crumbles. It ends up very badly for him. But he crumbles because of disobedience. He crumbles because he doesn't continue trusting in the Lord's goodness and following what he says is best. Saul starts well here, but it is interesting actually when you read the passage more deeply, we see that even now, early on, cracks are beginning to appear. So look with me at verse 17. Cracks are beginning to appear. So Samuel, he summons everyone, all the people, to a coronation ceremony. This is Saul's big day, isn't it? And yet Saul is nowhere to be found. Hiding, we're told, verse 22, hiding behind the supplies. Probably worried, scared, anxious, who knows? I had a great privilege just a couple of weeks ago. Many of you were here. We had Mike and Vicky's wedding, didn't we? Great day, wonderful day. One of the great fears in a vicar's life is sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat thinking, one day this is going to happen to me. You know what it is, don't you? Is a runaway bride. Is she going to turn up to her big day? Thankfully she did. Thankfully for you, Mike, she did. Wonderful. Here is Saul, a runaway bride, isn't he? Yeah, this is his big day. And yet his cowardice, his apprehension, it leads him to disobey God's voice. God has told him to appear. God has told him this is his day. It starts well for Saul, but this is a small crack, isn't it? This is a small sign of what's to come, but it begins with disobedience. My friends, do you trust Jesus this morning? I said, do you trust Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to walk in obedience to him? Join me in a time of reflection. I'd like you to close your eyes with me. You said yes, so let's pray into it. Friends, the lamp of God's Spirit shines in this place, discerning the thoughts of our hearts, our intentions. Let him shine on you this morning. Let him turn the light on in those dark places. And ask yourself with me, what is there that I know that God wants me to do that I've been putting off doing? What is there that I know is contrary to what he wants me to do as my Lord, as my good Saviour who loves me, who knows what's best for you? What is it that I know that he does not want me to do, and yet I'm continuing to do it? If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. Obedience, we'll read later in 1 Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice. Maybe there's an area of ministry here among us within the church that you know that God is putting his finger on you, nudging you and saying, I want you to serve in that way, and you've been putting it off. God calls you this morning to respond to him. Maybe when it's just you and God, no one else can see you. Maybe you've been scrolling things on your phone, you know, that don't bring honour to Jesus. God calls you to obedience in that area. Maybe there's a relationship in your life in which you know that you need to seek reconciliation. God calls you, as far as it's within your power to do, to walk in obedience. Father, we thank you this morning for this fresh invitation to trust in your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is good. He is worthy of our trust. He's never let us down once. Walking in disobedience to him, as all of us have done, because we're flawed, because we're human. We all know that there is nothing but misery and anguish and regret. And we know that we've never regretted walking in obedience to him and his good ways. And so we thank you, Lord, for your empowering by your Holy Spirit to live in obedience to him. May we, Lord, in the things that you've pointed out to us this morning, may we not be hearers only of the word, but doers. And we thank you for this wonderful, gracious reminder that you've given us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.